May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Seems as though the disciples were confused about that cryptic message their teacher had given them. The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him, and 3 days after being killed, he will rise again. Now, Jesus, being the great teacher, knows that they did not understand this concept of who is the Son of Man, and who will betray him, and how can he raise again after being killed? Well, in an effort to help his disciples understand what he's teaching them, they slip away from the crowds where he could privately, without distractions, help them understand the very important message he was trying to convey. Now, none of the disciples asked what the prophecies meant. Perhaps they were afraid to disappoint their beloved teacher. Sometimes we don't get it, just as the disciples didn't get it. Have you ever heard people arguing amongst themselves about who's the greatest? Or whose team is the greatest? I have all the time, especially when it comes around the Redskins. And that's one of the reasons why I like this gospel the most. It shows the human fallibility of Jesus' disciples. When I read this gospel, I kind of imagine that one day Jesus is walking down a dirt path in Galilee, and with his disciples to slip away from the crowds. Jesus is just walking ahead of the disciples, and I'm walking with the disciples behind him. And I hear the disciples whispering and arguing amongst themselves about who's the best disciple, who's the greatest, which one is the teacher's pet. Kind of reminds me of precocious little children. Jesus likes me better. No, he doesn't. He likes me better. But Jesus hears them, and when they get to the place where they were going, he said to them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" And the disciples suddenly get very quiet because they're embarrassed because they were arguing about who is the greatest. Now Jesus, knowing what's in their heart, sat under a large shade tree, I imagine, and said to them, "If anyone wants to be first," he said, "he must be the very last, to be a servant to everyone else." Now, I imagine that's not exactly what the disciples wanted to hear. I believe they were hoping to hear Jesus say to them that they were going to have very important positions in the kingdom that he was bringing. Not only did they not understand the prophecy, of the Lord's death and his resurrection, they didn't understand what it meant to be one of Jesus' disciples, the chosen 12. They thought it was an opportunity for privilege and power and position. Are we any different from the disciples in that case? Do we not think that we're privileged and that we're powerful? Whoever wants to be first must be last and servant to all. The disciples didn't get this concept either. How could the first be last? I can only imagine Jesus, the Son of God, trying to explain to them over and over again this simple idea as easily as he possibly could. So I imagine Jesus tugging on his beard going, how can I make it simpler for them? Aha! Jesus says, visual aids. Visual aids will help them understand. So he calls over one of the children who were playing, kicking a ball around, and he calls him over to them, and he says, keep in mind that at this time, children in this time of history were considered worthless. They were disposable, a slight burden on the family because they couldn't do anything to help in any way. They couldn't do any work. They were insignificant. Whoever welcomes one such a child in my name welcomes me. Whoever welcomes me, not me, but the one who sent me. So now they're really confused. Still blank looks on their face. Jesus, because they were getting tired of trying to make them understand, Jesus tells the apostles that if they want to be the best person that they could be, they would have to put the needs and desires of others before themselves. In addition, the only way to know God the Father is by knowing God the Son. And the only way to know the God the Son is to know the child, the children, the poor, the people in need. Luckily for us, the message about to be first, you must be last, is not about moving to the back of the line. It's not about putting yourself last. It's about putting others before you, just as Jesus would have done. Sometimes all the rudeness and bickering and man's inhumanity to man really begins to depress me. Sometimes I think that the future of our country and our world is just sometimes totally screwed. But then a natural disaster affects thousands of people. No, not affects, but devastates thousands of people. And then I see a guy rent a truck to go rescue people and animals from flooded neighborhoods. I see first responders put their needs, the needs of strangers, above and before their needs and the needs of their families. I see people sharing food and supplies. It's as if all of the differences that kept them apart, sniping at each other, were washed away with the floodwaters. Maybe all of the BS in our lives could be washed away, and our true nature could be revealed. Maybe it's the grace of God that reminds us of our humanity. It's a simple doctrine that we love our neighbors as we love ourselves. We are all called to be servants to those in need by our baptismal covenant. God the Son gave up all of his divine privileges to become a servant, to put the needs of the world before his own. He suffered on the cross so that we would be saved. The lesson is the same for us today. There are thousands, hundreds of our brothers and sisters without food or shelter, without basic essentials to survive. The gospel tells us that when we put our needs and desires behind the less fortunate, we are distancing ourselves from God. But when we get involved and we need to feed the hungry and house the homeless and befriend the lonely, these tasks bring us closer to God. It dawned on me that when I was working on this, that the things in our lives could be washed away, and the Holy Spirit reminds us of our humanity, and that maybe what is meant in Genesis 1:27, when we're told that, so God created humankind in his image, I think that that concept of our humanity being what the Holy Spirit would make us is going to require a lot of prayer and thought on my behalf. There are so many ways to be a servant here at Holy Comforter. The pastoral and the outreach work that we do touches so many. This November, for the 224th annual convention, the community of deacons will be collecting canned food and canned chicken to benefit the many food pantries and ministries of the congregational level within the Diocese of Virginia. According to information gathered in 2014, approximately two-thirds of all congregations in the Diocese of Virginia are involved in a food ministry. Why the focus on hunger and food? For many of us, we don't think about our next meal. We assume that when we open a pantry or our wallets, our meal will be provided. For many Virginians, that's just not the case. Caritas is another example of putting others before us. Okay, I'll admit that this may be my shameless plug for Caritas this year, but however, this December we will be hosting families. Join us in taking care of the less fortunate in our community. There are many ways to put our guests' needs and concerns before our own. There are so many ways to be involved for both the young and the old. Greatness is measured by what you do for others. All of the witty sermons and all of the beautiful stained glass and all of the vestments and wonderful music and $5 collars is not what God is looking for. God wants us to serve the abandoned and the people in the need just as He would have. He said that the most important thing was to think of others first and ourselves last. That if we want to be great in God's sight, we should seek to be a servant rather than to be served. Dear God, help us to remember that to be greatest, we must be willing to be least, the least. Heavenly Father, give us a servant's heart, a heart like Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.